Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God. The things that happened in the bullpen back there are limits.
Oh, boy.
I picked up a guitar and...
This is why I couldn't find you, and I went all around the building saying, Joe, where are you?
Malzy and I launched into a song like Simon and Garfunkel, and it turned out to be a great song. Donnie and Ben Tenuta were greatly entertained, I must say. So was I. Oh, man. All right. So, Connor Griffin... Listen, you and I and everybody listening right now have seen many prospects come through the Pirates system who looked like they were going to be really good and weren't. Henry Davis is a great example. Henry Davis crushed AAA pitching. He crushes it every time he goes back there, which unfortunately has been too often. It's not translating to the major league level. I get it. I get all of that. This kid appears to be different. Connor Griffin appears to be different. It's not just the numbers, although the numbers are pretty astounding. In something like 450 at-bats in the minor leagues, going from high A and now through double A, and he's in the playoffs right now tearing it up. He's hitting around, and my computer all of a sudden crashed on me, but I just wrote this morning. He's hitting around 325 in like 448 at-bats, something like that. He's hitting about 325 with 21 homers, over 100 runs scored, 65 stolen bases, a 940 OPS or thereabouts. And he's 6'4", 225 with tons of speed at a premium position at shortstop. Anybody you talk to around baseball will tell you this kid is now as close to can't miss for stardom as you can possibly get. He's the number one prospect in all of baseball. He is the savior type prospect that the Pirates have longed for, that they've pined for. He appears to be that. A guy who rockets through your system straight to the major leagues. We talked about this with Dan Zangrilli yesterday about signing him right now. And before you laugh at the premise here, the premise being the Pirates spending money, consider that this could become a bargain for them. So, yeah, there's spending money involved. It's not like they've never done that. They do that. The question is, will it be money well spent? And maybe money saved on the other end. Now that perks up Bob Nutting, and that should perk you up as well. They should do what the Brewers did with Jackson Chourio. I think he was an international guy that they signed and realized right away, oh my God, this kid is a star in the making. So before he ever played a major league game at the age of 19, and Griffin is 19 too, this was in December of 2023. Chourio had played six games at AAA. That's it. That's as high as he had gotten. And the Brewers, because they trust themselves, they trust their eyes, they trust their scouts, they trust themselves as an organization, even though they're in a smaller market than Pittsburgh, said, we're going to sign this dude to an this 19-year-old child, to an 8-year, $82 million contract with incentives or escalators that could take it up to $142 million. Plus, we get two club options at the other end of this deal. So Chorio is signed through 2032 and potentially 2034. But guess what? At the rate he's going, he started his major league career great. The Brewers get an incredible bargain. He gets upwards of $140 million in generational money, and he can go out and sign that huge free agent deal before he even hits 30. It's win, 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 win. And it could be the same with Connor Griffin. The risk from the Pirates side is obviously that he could bust, right? Especially when he gets exposed to their major league hitting program. It could happen. But he's the number one prospect in the game for a reason. And just Google him. Google all the things that have been written by anybody who matters who covers baseball. And they'll say he's as close to can't miss as you can get. He's 19. He could be in the majors next season. He could even open in the majors next season. So again, before you laugh at this proposition, first, if the Brewers can do it, the Pirates can. Second, this would actually be a wise financial move, potentially. The odds are in favor of it being a wise financial move for Bob Nutting and the Pirates. And I'm talking about something like the Chorio deal. 8 years for something around $100 million with a bunch of escalators that could make it higher. You're still talking, what, $16 to $18 million a year? You're not going to bankrupt the franchise, and even if you do, who cares? Even if Bob Nutting loses this one, listen, he has the luxury of knowing that he could sell at any time for upwards of $2 billion, okay? So that's hanging out there every day, that truth, that reality. Signing this kid to a contract that could, if the kid becomes really good with incentives and all that, to about $140 million a year, $17 million a year. Okay, that's not really going to bankrupt anybody. It's not. It's going to be okay. Again, they just flushed $176 million down the toilet on Key Brian Hayes and Brian Reynolds. Now, hopefully Reynolds bounces back and make something more of that deal, but they've won nothing since they signed him, and he crapped out this year. So if you can take that money and just toss it in the air and light it on fire, why couldn't you or wouldn't you take a chance here on this kid right now? And why right now? Because the price goes up every day. He gets to the majors and starts to play well, the price goes up. The Red Sox did this with Roman Anthony, who was the number one prospect in the game this year, position player, when they called him up, and I think he had played 40 games when they said, you know what, now's the time. Here you go. I think it was $130 million on 8 years for him, for Roman Anthony, but with the escalators, if he's really good, and man, it sure looks like he is, then it could be up over $200 million, which is fine. It's still a great bargain for the team. Why is it a bargain for the Pirates? Because Connor Griffin, if he becomes who you think he is, who everybody thinks he is, he's going to make tons of money in arbitration. Tons. More than that annual salary I just mentioned. Plus, you'd be buying out years of free agency. Plus, you'd have two club options or one maybe at the end of the deal. That seems to be getting built into all of these. The Red Sox have a club option tacked on to an 8-year deal with Roman Anthony. The Brewers got two club years options tacked on to an 8-year deal with Chorio. They control that guy for 10 years. Chorio. I think he's 2 years into the deal. And by the way, 2 years into a deal in which he's pounded over 40 home runs, stolen over 40 bases, slugging .471 and helping the Brewers dominate the NL Central. That's what the Brewers did. That's smart business. You identify a talent like this and you make them an offer that's really hard to say no to. Generational wealth, plus you still get to cash in if you become a star before you're 30. It's a risk? Yeah, of course it is. I mean, at some point you have to take, signing Brian Reynolds was a risk. $106 million contract. Signing Key Brian Hayes at that point in his career, pretty early in his career, they made a bet on Hayes. They lost. He can't hit. They lost that bet, but they made it. So it's not like the Pirates have never made a fairly significant financial bet. Make one here and make it now. We talked to Zangrilli about this yesterday. Do we have that clip, Limits, or I can refer back to it?
Yeah, here's a part of it.
12-year deal today.
Yes.
I signed Connor Griffin to a 12-year deal today.
Yes.
I would.
100%. Yes.
$180 million. Make him turn away $15 million bucks.
And I think when you're a young person like that, you should do it. It's guaranteed money. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go through this whole, 2 years now, arbitration, how much? No.
Give it to him now, today.
I would do it if I believed. And the whole thing would be if I believed he has the maturity, the leadership, everything that it takes. You know about his talent. I think it's pretty obvious to watch him. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
We all agreed. Do you? At 412-928-9370.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
928-9370. Now, Paul Skeens is a different ball game because we're getting now, we're 2 years into this thing. He's getting closer to a $500 million payday. You know, in the best case scenario, could I see them buying out 1 year of that, you know, on the benefit to him being he would make way more in the first years of arbitration than he would have made? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, Skeens wants to get to free agency as soon as possible. He also wants to make a bunch more money than he would in arbitration, even though those arbitration awards are going to be pretty hefty for him. What if you offer him way more in the short term to buy out that 1 year of free agency? I don't think it's going to happen. Don't get me wrong. But that would be the most that would happen. And you'd probably trade him before that 1 year of free agency anyway if you signed him to that deal. So forget about him. It feels like that ship has sailed and it would be way too much money, and he's looking at way too much money. He's literally looking at $500 million, if not more, in free agency if he keeps this up. This one is very realistic right now, and I agree, and I like the way that Zangrilli phrased it. Make Connor Griffin say no. Make him say no to $100+ million of generational wealth guaranteed. You want to go through the pre-arb process every year until you get to arbitration, then go through that every year, and then wait and bide your time? Put those escalators in too. Make it, I mean, look at the Chorio deal. What a great deal the Brewers got there. Because the original deal is 8 years and $82 million. And then it's basically written into that contract, if you become great like we think you will, that thing nearly doubles. That gets up to $142.5 million. So we're taking that financial risk, the Brewers said. So guess what? We're also going to tack on two club options at the end of this. Two club option years. So if you bust out, you know, meaning the bad part of bust, we're at least protected on those final 2 years. And in the meantime, if you don't live up to your deal, it's $10 million a year that we've wasted. Not good, not great, but I think we'll all survive. The same would go for Griffin. The Brewers made a bet. They trusted themselves. And this kid looks like a really good player bordering on star. Do it now. And again, before you laugh at this, a Pirates' money, they're not going to spend any. They actually do. This is one thing that they do. They signed their dream outfield a long time ago, McCutchen, Polanco, Marte, to deals that were going to take those guys past their free agency years. Now, unfortunately, McCutchen got worse, Marte got suspended, and Polanco forgot how to play baseball. So please don't call here right now and say, oh, the Pirates never do this. They've done it. They do it. They're not going to sign the Gerrit Coles of the world or the Paul Skeens of the world, but they do actually sign their own players at relatively young ages and buy out free agency. They actually do. McCutchen, Marte, Polanco, Keller, Hayes, Reynolds. I know that goes against conventional thinking, but they actually do that. Now, they've never done this before a guy plays a major league game, but other teams have, notably the franchise that should be their role model, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. And please keep in mind that in the end, this could be a bargain for Bob Nutting. So again, before you call and say, they're never going to do this, why would they do this? He's never going to, because it would benefit him financially in the end. And if you tell him something's going to benefit him financially in the end, I would think his eyes would light up like a pinball machine. 412-928-9370. Limits, your quick thoughts on this.
I would definitely do this. I would probably target a 10-year, $150 million deal, especially because some of those pre-arb numbers are going to be small. And then you
Why not eight with two club option years to protect yourself?
I think Connor Griffin's going to be that good. I would make it 10 and then add on another club option to make it 11.
Well, see, then you get to the point where he doesn't get to go to free agency till he's after 30.
Well, no, he's 19 years old. He's going to be 20 next year, so he would be 30 if you give him a 10-year deal. So he's right on that border because he's 2-3 years younger than Roman Anthony.
But you'd do it right now, sign him long-term.
No doubt about it, I would do it. And they should present him the contract right now.
Today.
No doubt about
it. The same way the Brewers did with Chorio. He was a 19-year-old kid who had played six games of AAA baseball, and they did it. And this kid, I would argue, is drawing more rave reviews than Chorio did at 19. He's 6'4", 225, and runs like the wind. Let's go to the line.
Yeah, and you can't live in your fears like with after the Polanco deal, the Tabata deal. You got to move on and your guy.
Well, yeah, and those were relatively, like the Tabata thing was almost no risk. It was so small. Polanco was more of a risk at the time. McCutchen was a bet that they won. And then Marte got himself suspended in the middle of that whole thing. And then they started to lose as a team. But again, the charge that, oh, they never signed their young guys past free. They actually have, and they do. Unfortunately, a lot of them have busted. That's the problem. Let's hit the line.
Here's Tony in Blairsville.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, with the other consideration of a rumor of a salary cap or salary floor, you would think that these athletes would be more in tune with signing that type of a contract, the $150 for 10 years, right?
Well, yeah. For protection, I mean, he would certainly get a huge bonus up front because, yes, the league might shut down. And we don't know what the landscape would look like after that as far as arbitration, pre-arbitration. Anything could happen in a new CBA. It could benefit younger players like Connor Griffin, but it could not benefit them, too, because one thing about CBA negotiations is that the veterans look out for themselves first, which you can't blame them for, but that's a good point.
Let's go to Nate. He's in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the call. Definitely with you guys on this one. I think we absolutely need to do anything we can to extend them. I mean, I think that, you know, just the early looks from Connor is he looks like a young Mike Trout out there running around. So I definitely think we need to do anything we can. My question to you, Joe, is, you know, do you think that if you were in Connor's camp at this point in his career, you would want to see something of more of a commitment from the Pirates outside of a financial commitment, more of a, hey, how are we going to get this to a winning franchise commitment if I'm going to be here for the next 10 years?
I think that would be a big sign in and of itself, honestly. You're willing to give me that kind of money and financial commitment that in and of itself would indicate to me that you're interested in winning.
And do you think that Paul Skeens would take that any sort of way, that we extended someone before they got there? I mean,
no, I don't think. He would like it, but if you're insinuating that it would influence him to sign with the Pirates long term, no, I don't think anything can. Even if they started winning, they were winning with Gerrit Cole. I mean, they're interested in long term security and as much money as they can get, which is what I'd be interested in too. And that kind of money is never, ever coming from the Pirates, the kind that Gerrit Cole went out and got, the kind that Skeens is going to go out and get at some point.
Yeah, I mean, Skeens, the ship has completely sailed on that. That should have been a conversation a couple years ago, and that's why I think you got to do this now with Griffin, just so that we don't look back in a year. He's come up, he's played a couple of months, and he's played pretty well, where you say, oh, is it already too late? That's why you have to jump on it now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He was the limitless wonder.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with here?
You can call me Ron.
I think that was a wise choice in the end. Perhaps
ultimately.
Perhaps limits you could add in the latest Brian Kelly incident.
Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity.
That's still my favorite one.
I do like that one. What did Kelly tell the reporter? He's since apologized.
He did apologize for saying this.
You know what? You're spoiled.
Yeah.
You're spoiled.
You got to get that one in there for the intro. What do we have today, my friend?
All right, Mike Florio was on with the PM guys for his weekly hit and talked about Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, look, there's so many quarterback injuries around the league now. J.J. McCarthy, there was talk, would Aaron want to go to Minnesota? And they ultimately went with McCarthy. Look at Burrow in that offense, high expectations with Cincinnati. Should Aaron Rodgers have just waited this thing out, Florio wonders?
And in the year that you get Aaron Rodgers and they get the upgrade, you know, when you look at all the quarterback injuries now, and there's five quarterbacks who are injured and missing time, Rodgers may ask himself in a quiet moment if he should have just waited for a serious quarterback injury and not signed on with the team. Because if things don't change quickly, he's not going to get that playoff berth that he wants to cap his career with.
That's fair. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if he had waited and now today he woke up and he had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to throw to? That's a fair point by him. I'm not sure that Rodgers is ruining the day he signed with the Steelers. This could still be a playoff team. And honestly, he's off to a decent start through two games. He looks pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Does he have the weaponry he might have in other places? Absolutely not. So I do think that's a fair point.
Yeah, I do too. It's not like he has Kevin O'Connell as his play caller and Justin Jefferson for the Vikings in a somewhat established running game. Aaron Jones did just get hurt.
Well, the Vikings didn't want him back then. I don't think they'd want, but maybe they would.
You don't
would.
Think so?
Maybe how long's McCarthy out?
2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think they go out and sign Aaron Rodgers in that case. The ball's in McCarthy's court.
Do you think that those 2 weeks of play where McCarthy's played seven bad quarters, he had the one very good quarter where he scored three touchdowns, you don't think that would have any potential impact on if Rodgers was still available?
They didn't want him. No, I think they're going to ride with McCarthy for a while and see what they have. And I don't think Rodgers would want to be part of that either. I think that went both ways. Who else has quarterback injuries, Limits? Remind me now.
Jaden Daniels is just going to be out for potentially a game.
Any other long-term injuries here?
Those are the main ones at the moment.
I mean, Cincy's the obvious one. You also can't count on that. I suppose you can count on at some point quarterbacks are going to be hurt, but will there be somebody in a really good situation with a really good offense who goes out long term? You might be waiting a while for that. It just so happened with Burrow, but it is a fair point. Next.
And I do wonder, like, what situation would the Steelers be in if that was the case? This would be Mason Rudolph's team. Would Will Howard would he be the backup? Would Skylar Thompson be the backup?
Good question.
I truly wonder what would be the case there. But James Harrison, as we talked about the offense, he is a little bit more worried about the Steelers' defense. This was on the Debo and Joe podcast. James Harrison and Joe Hayden have a show.
The defense with six former first rounders allow back-to-back 100-yard rushers. Goodness, man. God. Steelers don't give up rushing. That's just something that, as a base, that's one of the things that's supposed to be the standard. You don't give up 100-yard rusher. And, dude, I really can't understand what's going on with the defense. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm actually a little past that, dude. Like, the defense is bad, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you gave up 32 points to the Jets, bro. Almost 400 yards, dude. What was it? 182 rushing. And the Bills just dog walked the Jets, dude.
Yeah.
Only gave up 154 yards total, dude. Like, we're in trouble, man.
We're in trouble.
Well, I like when he said he was nervous and scared. That's my pat answer. Even when I meet strangers on the street, I say, how are you? They say, good, how are you? I say, anxious and scared, but that's normal.
Are you scared because you're meeting them and you're not familiar with them?
No, just generally scared.
Oh.
Sounds like he is, too, at least scared of this defense. I mentioned to Hokey. And here's the bottom line, really, and I say this without vitriol at all. But this defense, not just this year, is embarrassing its Steeler forefathers, its Steeler ancestors, the great defenses of the past. They set a record for most playoff games in a row, allowing at least 30 points. They set an NFL record like this defense did. They gave up 300 yards rushing in a playoff game. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game, the defense I'm talking about, and the team at large, in going on a decade. They've never, the principal people on this defense, coach, player, whoever you want to name, have never had a signature defensive performance in a big game. Think about that. And then as I told Hokey earlier today, we were watching Donnie Football likes to put on clips, old games featuring this week's opponents. We were watching Brady against Ben in Ben's rookie year when the Steelers beat them. And they showed a graphic late in the game that said the Patriots have 6 yards rushing today. Six. That's the type of stuff that those teams used to do. These teams go out and, like Harrison just said, give up 182 yards to the Jets, who then go play a Buffalo defense that isn't good. You saw that. We all watched the game the Sunday night when they played the Ravens. That's not a good Buffalo defense. And Buffalo looked like the 85 Bears. Justin Fields was 3 for 11 for that. That's who the Jets are. That's who the Jets are. Who are the Steelers? And Hokey admitted when I said this is embarrassing, he acknowledged that. Their run defense is an embarrassment. And when you have great players, legends like James Harrison looking at that and commenting the way he did, my God, aren't they mortified by this? Isn't Mike Tomlin mortified by this? And these people had the gall, once again, the gall in this preseason to start spouting off about how they could be one of the best defenses ever? Did that really happen or did I dream that? Anyway, next.
So Derek Harmon was limited at practice, still dealing with his knee injury. Will he be able to go? Mike Tomlin basically said it's the same injury designation as Deshaun Elliott, questionable at best. Here's what Harmon had to say.
I'm very anxious, man. I just want to get out there and help the team any way I can right now. Right now, my main focus is trying to be prepared and make sure I'm healthy enough to get out there.
For me, Joe, I feel like they're putting, maybe pressure isn't the right word, but they're banking on a rookie to basically save their run defense. And I understand he's the first round pick.
Well, what makes you think they're doing that?
Well, by the fact that it's been so poor, and at least to me, maybe it's just me making that assumption, that once Derek Harmon comes back, some of the answers will be attainable and will be fixed. Some of these problems.
Well,
I just feel like they're putting way too much pressure on Harmon.
Well, he needs the pressure. He was a first-round pick. Rookies can make a huge difference, and he's not the only one looking forward to playing. Everybody else is, too. They desperately, desperately need help up front. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And I think it's reasonable to expect them to be really good right off the bat. The best rookies can do that. Let's see it. You know, and if that just means standing up straight and tying up a block, which nobody else except for Cam Hayward on the defensive line can seem to do, that would be great. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Sunny today, high of 85. That's a high of Eric Ebron. A low of 57. I think that's Tom Jackson, the old Denver Bronco of ESPN fame. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. One more before we get to Mike DeFabo.
Well, Broderick Jones did not mix words on describing the Steelers' offense.
You
and
mean minced
the line
words,
up
limits.
Front. What did I say? Mixed?
Yeah.
It's minced? How would you spell
minced.
It? What is the word?
Minced.
Minced.
Yeah, like you would mince garlic.
How do you spell that?
M-I-N-C-E-D.
Thank you.
That game was just like a KCD for us. Just as a whole, we got to continue to just get better and lock in each and every day. And listen to what Coach T is telling us, because Coach T is always emphasizing like the little mistakes and team meeting. You know, we just got to continue to listen to his message and continue to move forward.
With it being like, do you view that as correctable?
Some days you're on, some days you're not. That's how I look at it. Some days it's not going to be your best. You just got to continue to push through it and, you know, try and come out on top. Or sometimes it's not going to go your way. I mean, you just got to continue to be able to learn and correct.
Well, did Brooke Pryor just repeat his words to him there? That was incredible. Did you expect to have to drop in the beep for Brooke Pryor's response there?
Well, thankfully, Pony did it before I needed to, but I went back and listened just to make sure that the bleep was included in both spots.
That was the story there, and Broderick Jones better start having better days. I never understood the logic that you take a bad right tackle and he suddenly becomes good at the more difficult position of left tackle. That never really, the logic there never really hit home with me. I hope he gets better. He's still really young. He hardly played in college. I still think there's a chance, but I think everybody in the world would agree the early signs here are not good. And as Yogi Berra said, it's getting late early out there. You know, it's still fairly early in his career, but he's also played a lot and hasn't played well and is going to get his quarterback killed if this keeps up. Thank you, Limits. Let's ask Mike DeFabo about that and all things Steelers next, including does he think there's a chance, like this game tonight, one of the things I'm watching is if the Dolphins get killed again, does that make it more likely at 0-3 and maybe the coach getting fired that Tyreek Hill's going to want out? What about the Steelers? Is that a realistic option contract-wise and everything else?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.